Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
7:13, we're going to have a conversation about Canal Street, one of the more iconic streets in all of New Orleans. And Sandra Smith joins us. Sandra Smith Thompson Herman. That's all four names? Got
yes,
it right?
Yes.
Who is the president and CEO of the New Orleans Entertainment Coalition and also... Celebrate Canal Coalition, right? Two different things?
Yes. New Orleans Entertainment Coalition was the first nonprofit we put together. And when we came up 6 months ago with the Celebrate Canal, we made it a part of that.
You know, I was looking at your resume, and what fascinates me about this, and I go back to the simple example of anybody that's been involved with any parent-teacher activities at school or whatever, nothing just happens, right? No, I'm serious about this, Sandra, because chairs don't just get set up. Somebody's got to set up the chairs. Somebody's got to bake the brownies. Somebody's got to do this. What led you to get involved in public service?
Well, I grew up in a politics-loving family. Parents just absolutely from Northeast, the farm country up there. All of my ancestry and relatives were row crop farmers, not big farmers, but...
You say Northeast Louisiana?
Yes, Northeast Louisiana.
What are you talking about? What area?
Rayville, Delhi, Winnsboro, all east and southeast of Monroe.
Okay.
So for 100 years, they were all there. But, you know, they cut their teeth on Huey Long and Earl Long. And, of course, you know, moderately or low income, they thought they were, you know, kings. Mm-hmm. But anyone in town, the big town of Rayville, the lawyers in town were, you know, the elite and smart and brilliant. And anyone elected to anything, and as low as dog catcher, and of course, they didn't have that. But anyone that was elected to anything was someone to just really be looked up to and admired and honored to shake their hands and to meet them. And my father actually became a minister, and we traveled around and moved around a lot as a child. I lived in North Louisiana, Pineville. I went to high school in Pineville, but I went to grammar school down in Houma and New Iberia. And after we had lived there for a few years as a kid, went back home to the Rayville area and met the relatives, and they all were laughing at the way we talked. because we picked up the Cajun accent. And but I got to know the state of Louisiana very well.
I was going to say, you've been well-traveled and lived all over the area, so you got a good feel for Louisiana.
I really did. And in fact, when we lived in Morgan City as a kid, and we would drive across the Atchafalaya River, my dad would say to the kids, okay, spell Atchafalaya, because if you don't, the bridge is going to fall in. And, of course, we were like A-T-C-H-A-F-A-L-A-Y-A. And so much later, when I was working for Secretary of State Wade O. Martin, Jr., he said, well, we're going to take on this Atchafalaya Basin program. Do you know anything about it? You'll have to learn how to spell it. I said, I know how to spell it.
The bridge is still there.
The bridge is there. Yeah, that's right. And by the way, I didn't say good morning, Tommy.
Well,
it's
good
really
morning.
An honor and a pleasure to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well.
I see
that your papers were donated to Kathleen Babineau Blanco Public Library. Tell me about that,
yes,
because you've got quite a history behind you.
Yes, I do, and I have boxes and boxes of papers. And when UL contacted us and said it would be an honor, because Lafayette and most of my career was dealing with the Atchafalaya Basin, we'd love to have them here. They had a ceremony. It was really an honor, and we actually had that ceremony on a Friday, and Monday is when COVID shut everything down. So it was like 3 days prior to that. But yes, so the public can come in and do research. I have every letter. I have every document, all of my dealings with the Corps of Engineers and all the parishes and the cities around and the crawfishermen. And it was, you know, a 15-year love to be able to do that with that wonderful area of our state.
And that takes me back to nothing just happens, because there's a lot of work that goes behind developing policy, and policy dictates what happens, right?
Right. That's exactly right. So, yes, I have my husband. I got married very young. We met at Northeast Louisiana State. And he had 2 years in the military. We were in El Paso, came back. He went to law school in Baton Rouge. And I took a job as a typist clerk three for $320 a month. And actually met Mr. Wade O. Martin, Jr. in a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And I had two little kids. And this gentleman came up behind me and was going to cash a check. It was a Friday. It was a food town on Nicholson. And he said, I'm going to my camp. And it was a long line. He started chatting with me and said, I'm always looking for, you know, nice people to work in my department. And offered me a job there. And within a year, I was one of his top assistants and had the pleasure of working with him on the Atchafalaya. We worked on it. We had a very controversial beginning because this is 800,000 acres, mostly privately owned. So you had the oil industry, the timber industry, the private landowners on one side. You had the sportsmen, the environmentalists, and the public wanting access on the other side, and very contentious hearings. But I suggested to Mr. Martin that we put one group on the one floor and the other group on the other and go back and forth prior to Kissinger suggesting that, you know, on the national level.
Really?
And yes, and we got them to agree, because we would say, they agreed to this, would you agree to that? We took it to the legislature and created a small agency that I was named the director of when I was very young, at 20-something. And then, of course, I went on to design the Department of Culture, Recreation, and Tourism, and ran for Secretary of State, lost by 0.5%. And for 12 years, ran a trucking company to pay off my campaign debt. And then John Breaux had put $200 million in federal funds for the Atchafalaya. And Mr. Jack Caldwell offered me the job of putting together another master plan, which we were able to do. We went to the legislature, got $83 million, and we built welcome centers, recreation areas. We did some water management programs and lots of boat ramps. And then I retired in 2007, came down here, spent 15 years doing charitable things, you know, the ballet, I was president of that, and a few other things. But then I was at a meeting 6 months ago, and Michael Heck said it's going to take well, first of all, when you live down here, you hear about Canal Street.
Let me take a break.
Yeah, we'll take
it
a
up
break.
Right there, and we'll okay. talk, pick it up with Canal Street and Michael Hecht. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hear your story, though, because I think it goes to a couple of different things. Again, like I said, nothing just happens, right? Somebody has to get all of these different interests together and create a policy that satisfies as many as you can and is fair to as many people as you possibly can be. But I think you also got a fascinating story about that's what America is all about. You mm-hmm. start a mother of two, a clerk type is three, making how much?
$320 a month.
A month, and then from there you've risen to an amazing level of success, an MBA, and I think really you epitomize what America is all about. The opportunity is there if you take advantage of it, really.
Yes.
All right, we'll pick it up with Canal Street. We'll come back, 722 Traffic Now, WWL. Spending an hour with Sandra Herman, founder of Celebrate Canal, about the plans to revitalize Canal Street. And this lady has an amazing story. She really does. And you can download the Odyssey app, use the rewind feature, or later on you can go to WWL.com and click on my name and you'll see the audio posted. Things don't just happen. Policy is very complicated and intricate, and a lot of different people are involved. And she spent her life in public service, started as a typist clerk three, $320 a month, and has risen to a pretty remarkable career, I think, Sandra, in terms of the things that you've contributed to the state of Louisiana. And you love the state, don't you?
I do. I've lived all over the state. I've been fortunate enough to do that. But I never forget where I came from. Actually picked cotton a couple of times.
Did you?
I wasn't good at it. My sister and I, she was a year older. And we said, we're going to earn money to buy school clothes. Well, no, you know, it just, that didn't pan out. But my mom was really an expert cotton picker. But no, I never forget where I came from. And so I have those feelings about Louisiana and this entire state. And
so many people, and I hear things about it, and I'm running late here, so we'll pick up Canal Street on the other side of the news. But so many people, I hear so many negative things about Louisiana. Tell me what it is that you love so much, because you're a lady. You could have gone anywhere you wanted, done, and you're one of these people that could go wherever you want, do whatever you want, you and your husband. But you decide to stay here in the state and help. Tell me why.
Yes, I am a person. Well, first of all, I love problems. I love to solve problems and love working with people. I love building teams. You can't get anything done by yourself. And I love people who have passion. And when someone has a passion for something, you're drawn to them magnetically. And so I've always had an ear for, is that something I could work on? Is that something I could make a difference on working with people? And so that's what I love about Louisiana. We have a lot to do. We still have a long way to go.
And I was telling you this off the air, as a guy that grew up just being able to think of the future as next week or next month, I admire people that think 5 and 10 and 20 years down the line, and that's what leaders do, that's what you do, people like yourself do. And we'll talk about Canal Street, I promise, when we come back. But you have an interesting story, and I just want people to know about it.
Thank you, Tommy.
We're talking to Sandra Smith Thompson Herman. She is the Celebrate Canal Coalition leader. Is that right, Sandra? I got your title messed up, yes?
That's good.
Close enough? All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back right now. Time for WWL First News. All right, here we go. Let's quickly get back to Sandra Herman, founder of Celebrate Canal. Plans to bring Canal Street back. And again, Sandra, going back to my theme of nothing just happens. Canal Street's not going to come back without public buy-in, without people getting involved, people coming back. And it's only going to be as good as they want it to be. Accurate or not?
That's correct. And there's an unnecessary fear right now. And my statement is we will refuse to surrender our city to fear. But I heard Michael Heck speak 6 months ago at a home, and he was talking to people about how wonderful that the city is going to be, because we have all of these things happening and the Super Bowl, and it's going to be, you know, I love to be around positive people. Right. And Michael Hecht is a visionary and a very positive person, and that's the way I've been my whole life. And when he finished talking, one of the people raised their hands and said, "What are we going to do about Canal Street?" And Michael Hecht said, he took a deep breath and he said, "It's going to take a citizen-led initiative to get something done on Canal Street." Well, I'm sitting there thinking, yes, I can do this. I've done this my entire career. So started doing the research, found this wonderful plan that had been done in 2018 that's still viable. Met with Helena Marino, and she asked us to come to the council and ask them to update the plan. So I came up with a two-pronged approach. One, yes, we will discuss the main issues, and that is looking for the right retail shops to bring back. We won't ever have the big department stores back again. Public safety, of course, transportation, parking, those kinds of things, and placemaking, which is beautification, making it more of a walkable street. The other thing is getting families to come back to Canal Street. And we looked at the studies of the previous cities, and the most famous one that we all know about is Times Square. So it turns out in the 90s that this was the seediest, most crime-ridden street in the entire country. They had 6 felonies reported a day at that time. And so they had a group get together and say, "What are we going to do?" And they tried to bring in big office towers, and they followed by lawsuits and a lot of things. And finally, this group got together and said, "Let's bring families back to the street." And they said, "Let's have an art display. Let's dress up the windows and bring the families back." Well, you can imagine the uproar. You can't bring kids to that street. And I sat up in my chair, because my whole idea was we would discuss it, but the other thing is we would dress up the windows. I had the idea of New York City, where they dress up the windows at Christmas time. And I said, "Let's do that." And so it turns out that that when they did that in New York, they said, "We had lots of families with kids come, and we had no incidents. We had no crime. We had no disturbances." And then we decided to put a children's theater there on Times Square. Now, these are the things you don't hear. You hear that Giuliani ran all the crime out, but actually this is how it took place. They started bringing people back. And so once we get, I'm on Canal Street every day. It's a beautiful street, but we have to get the people used to coming back to it. And so we now have this program where we have we have some artists that are represented by Where Your Art Works, and matching them up. And it's going to be so much fun, because I'll give you 2 examples. First one, Palace Cafe. It used to be Werlein's, so we're going to feature that history. They had music there. So we have on the out, it's going to be like the house floats that were there the year that we couldn't.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's all right. The year
you know what happened? I wore that damn Letterman jacket from 50 years ago, and it for Shaw playing in a high school tournament today in the championship, and it's full of dust, and it's got my sinuses going. I hope it didn't affect you. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I appreciate your passion about it.
But anyway, go ahead.
Yes, and so at Palace Cafe, these are going to be outside up above. We have Flora and Fauna, the New Orleans menagerie. And so we will have flowers and plants from the New Orleans area featured, and there will be a critter of some sort. So we have this egret that's conducting. And by the way, the symphony was on the 3rd floor mm-hmm. of this Werlein's building. And so we have the egret that is conducting the orchestra. There are piano keys there and flowers. And research showed us that Mr. Werlein actually published sheet music. And one of them was the frog polka. And they had these little dancing frogs on the cover of it. So above that, there will be the dancing frogs. And our guide for this whole display area is Scrim, the dog.
And really?
Yes. He is such...
Wait. The actual dog or...
No.
No,
because we can't... Nobody can find it.
Scrim. No. So tell me how you're going to represent
Scrim.
Well,
he represents New Orleans. Because he's a metaphor for resilience. And so he's going to be taking us on a tour of Canal Street. And he will stop in each of these stores and he will learn about the history and he will tell us through these displays. So in this particular one, he is peeking over the top of the building and we will have...
It's an artist rendering you're talking about.
Well, actual 3D, you
3D,
know,
okay.
Yeah. All of this will be not...
That is the best idea, I swear to goodness, I've heard in a long time.
Yes. And so then we have him at the Sheraton where the Blue Dog is. So the idea is Scrim meets the Blue Dog and they go on adventures. Now, a part of the Sheraton at one time was Waterbury's drugstore. And Russ, my husband, was telling us about this. And they advertised that you could get your prescription and other products delivered to you for free on a motorcycle mm-hmm. that they had. So we have Scrim on a motorcycle and the Blue Dog on a motorcycle. And they each have a can of nectar, which Waterbury's was famous for. And... So each one of these will be a story of the history of it, and so there will be a QR code on every window that you can learn about the artist that prepared this and the history of the building, and so each store we're gonna feature their history and their story as we go down the street of Canal. It'll be for 3 months. And during that time, we will have art and architecture tours, champagne strolls. The Chamber of Commerce is sponsoring a champagne stroll. We will have scavenger hunts. The kids tell them, find where Scrim is in each one of these displays. And it's just going to be such a fun event. And we're going to debut it the week before French Quarter Fest. Because we're appealing mostly to locals, and locals really turn out for the French Quarter Fest.
That is the most clever, most positive thing I've heard in a long time. You got a QR code, you got Scrim, you got the Blue Dog, you got
yes.
Werlein's, you got, what was the frog, the dancing frog?
The dancing frog, polka, yes.
The frog polka.
Uh-huh.
And I think what is important here, and we were talking about this off the air, you can't expect merchants to come back if nobody goes back to Canal Street.
Exactly.
One has to, I don't know if it's like Katrina where somebody has to go first, both have to come at the same time. Mm-hmm. But if people want Canal Street to come back,
yes.
they have to go to Canal Street.
That's accurate? Exactly right, yes. People aren't going to invest in putting stores there. People are not coming there. It has to be a demand, and I know we're known around the world that people love to come to New Orleans, but Canal Street is our grand entrance, and we've got to show support for it by coming back.
And they did it in Detroit. They did it in New York,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. New York, when they decided that they would have start with an art display and invite families, there was a big uproar. You can't bring kids there, but it turned out to be very successful. And by the way, we have a recent event, the Taylor Swifties that came from all over the country. The mothers and daughters were going up and down Bourbon Street. There was nothing happening to them. The city can do this, but we have to believe it. We have to all turn out and say, this is a shared event. This is a shared street. you know, we want it back. We want the right kind of retail here.
And I was going to ask you if take Canal Street back would be too strong of a phrase, but I don't think it is. Do you?
I love that. Thank you, Tommy.
You're quite well. You can have it. Just like that, you can have it. Take Canal Street back. That's what we need to do.
I love that. That's exactly right.
You're an amazing woman. How can people find out more about the organization? How can they find out more about the plans with Canal Street and even contribute?
Yes, canalstreet.com. We have a website. We ask people to go on and give us their email. We will send out invitations to events, to meetings, to discuss everything and get involved. And it's just been universally received everywhere we've been.
I think you can look at it one of two ways. Either somebody took it over or you gave it up, right?
That's exactly right. People stopped coming, and then it was filled by other, you know, not as desirable. Yes. So we
not
do.
Not to besmirch anybody, but you would like it to be more family friendly. And it's not reinventing the wheel. It happened in New York. It happened in Detroit, and I presume.
Exactly.
And I think you guys are doing it, man, with Scrim. That's just awesome. I don't know who thought of that, but
yes,
kudos.
And I have a couple of quotes that are really awesome. And I give credit where it's due. A woman wrote a letter to the editor about Scrim. She said, "Scrim is a metaphor for resilience and power when we band together." And another woman, Rhonda Findley, talking about the Taylor Swift weekend, said, "The joyous landscape swept through." And we now have shared communal experiences. And let us embrace the power of shared experiences and give us perspective to build our city's future. And that's what we're doing with Windows on Canal.
Thank you for coming in. I hope you all come back, and good luck.
Thank you, Tommy.
I think it's an exciting idea. We'll take a break for traffic here on WWE.